Hi, I'm Joe Clark, host of Consider This, found right here Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock. Join us as we break down the financial world, things that truly matter to you, things that you should consider. You can find out more at our website at yourlifeafterwork.com, but join us Sunday morning, grab a cup of coffee, and let's break down the five critical elements, the things that can really change your financial life. Numbers 800-928-4001, yourlifeafterwork.com. We'll see you Sunday
morning. Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Get into a real estate of mind right here with Think Realty Radio, hosted by Abhi Goldhawk. Breaking down the latest market news, tips, and strategies, Abhi Goldhawk is nationally recognized for his real estate expertise. It's only on Think Realty Radio, and it starts right now.
Think Realty Radio, it's your host, Abhi Goldhawk. You're listening to 1 hour of radio that absolutely makes 135,000% to listen to, only because I'm hosting it. Totally kidding. It's because we have a lot of awesome guests on the show sharing information and strategies you need to succeed with your real estate investing career and world and everything that you need just to be just awesome. That being said, I'm excited about today's show. It is brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. And my good friend Noel Christopher is on the air with me. Noel, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good to have you again. Tell us a little bit about you, your background.
Sure. I'm the Senior Vice President of Corporate Development for Renter's Warehouse. I run our property management acquisition programs as we're expanding across the country, as well as our strategic alliances and initiatives that we have, whether it's a realtor referral program, working with lenders, banks, or different ways we are working to monetize our user base and offer them more services that can help them be better investors.
So I love that, right? Because for me, as an individual that's in the multifamily game, and personally, I'm also a huge fan of single family rentals, I'm always looking at scaling up. And for me, I know that if I don't scale properly, if I don't have the right team members, I feel like I'm just in a world of hurt. But for a lot of first-time investors, they look at this world and they say, holy cow, intimidation. This is not what I saw on TV, right? Like, Noel, why is this single-family rental world not what I'm seeing on TV?
Well, you know, you see a lot of those shows that, you know, you go in, you fix up a house, you have this great return, whether you're flipping it or renting it out. But the devil's in the details. So it's pretty easy to buy. It's actually pretty easy to rehab. But to do it right, to pick the right location, to, you know, understand yourself as an investor, those are the difficult parts.
Yeah, I think sometimes TV does not equal reality. Right? Like, there's some stuff that makes sense. There are other things, sometimes maybe the majority of things, that are just like, really, how does that matter? But then you have these first time investors that will look at this, take it as truth, and try to implement some of these tactics they watch. And all of a sudden, they end up in a horrific deal because they just didn't do what they needed to do. So that being super vague, let's talk about some of the first time investor mistakes that you're seeing out there on the single-family rental side.
Well, so what we're seeing a lot now is that we have a lot more investors who are investing outside the geographic region of where they live. So they might live in New York, they might live in Chicago, they might live in, especially if they're living in the West Coast, and they're looking at different markets in the country to invest. And it doesn't matter if you're a high-net-worth individual or you've just saved up enough money to acquire your first home. You still have to take a lot of introspective look at yourself, what's important to you as far as investing, what your style is going to be. And then that first investment that you do, really need to make sure it's a safe, sound investment, and you've done a lot of your homework, you understand the market you're investing into, you understand who your partners are in that market that are going to do the, that, that either bought and rehabbed a home and they're presenting you a rent-ready home, or if you're buying a home that needs to be rehabbed and you have a construction partner, either way, you still need to do the same due diligence on them, and then make sure you have the back-end operations to manage that investment to get the maximize your yield.
So do you have any specific examples of folks that you've communicated with recently or even over the last couple of months that have just made like the dumbest mistakes ever? And you're like, well, you should have just listened to me to begin with.
So I think one of the biggest mistakes that happens is that, and you know, it depends on what you're looking for. There's a lot of different paths that you can take to get to your first investment property. You can go through a site like Roofstock or Own America, and it, where they enable you to and educate you to see the property, to see everything, all the due diligence on the property, and you make that decision to buy that property, and you pick your property manager, and you're off to the races per se. Or you could go through some of the investment clubs that are out there. There's like the Real Wealth Network, the Fortune Builders, all those. And they take a much more hands-on approach, try to educate you on all the different aspects, and then put you with a partner in the market to acquire a home. The thing that a lot of people make a mistake on is trusting whoever is presenting the property to them without verifying all of the numbers. So, you know, you get somebody who says, hey, this house is great. It's a 20% return and it's, you know, it's in a great area and things are well. Well, maybe look up on Zillow or Hotpad to see how many other homes are for rent in that area. Take a really good look at the value of that house. There's so you can ask a third party real estate broker in a market on, you know, give them some comps. Sometimes you're going to find that you've got guys that are pushing the values in order to get their return, or they're pushing the areas and they're in a fringe area that is not maybe that stable, but you're getting a higher return. What you have to understand on that cap rate or yield, typically the higher it is, once you get over, let's say 13, 14%, you're actually creating more risk with the higher return. Mm. So just because it says it's a 20% return, you're also in a riskier investment. So your first investment, it would be better to take something that's a moderate return, that's in a good, stable area, and you've done a lot of your due diligence, not on just the numbers and the return, but also on the actual construction of the house.
So that's a very interesting concept you bring up, right? Like, if I'm looking at an 18, 19, 20% return, how does that equate to higher risk, though, Noel? I mean, maybe I'm willing to work a little bit harder. Does that necessarily mean my risk goes up?
Well, it's not about how hard you work. It's that typically when you start getting into those higher returns on paper, it's usually in a riskier area. The band that you're in a stable, pretty stable investment is anywhere from a 5% return to, I would say, a 10 or a 12% return. And this could be your cash on cash return, the cap rate of the house. It depends on how you're calculating those numbers. But when you get into those higher returns, the reason they're higher is typically because you're in a more risky area. Whether it's a fringe area that you know, there's a less of a renter pool, if it's an area that's up and coming that had a lot of foreclosures in the past, you've got to really, really understand the type of tenant, the economical you know, status of that tenant, of where they are. Are you getting a tenant that typically has some dings on their credit?
Yep.
Are you getting a little bit higher worth tenants who are in a little bit nicer areas, who are more stable? There's a lot of different factors, but you should be really careful on the promise of high returns. Typically, you're going to have a lower end tenant that is going to have higher repairs and maintenance costs. That's really what it kind of comes down to, and well, possibly higher turnover.
Well, no, I think when we come back, I have an opportunity for you for a 30% return. That's guaranteed in a market. Absolutely not, right? Like, when you start hearing these types of things, you should definitely be doubting the person that's telling you this stuff, because one, if it's 30%, two, if they use the word guaranteed, and three, if they say this is absolutely going to happen, you could probably tell them to like jump in a lake or something, right? Like that's where the conversation needs to lead. Realistically, in this world, it's going to be between 8 and 10.
Yes, and for sure, red flags are rent guarantees, maintenance guarantees, all of those things. They do a disservice to themselves and to you as an investor because, great, everything's rent guarantees and maintenance guarantees for the first year are great, but then what do you do after that?
That's right. Let's go to break. When we come back, Noel, I'm going to ask you two questions. One, how do new investors pick remote markets? And number two, what's the best buying criteria for new investors? And then we'll start having the scaling conversation. How do you scale and grow your single family rental portfolio? Think Realty Nation, this hour of radio is brought to you by Renters Warehouse, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. Check them out, RentersWarehouse.com. Have questions for me? Head on over to ThinkRealtyRadio.com. Be right back.
We'll be right back with more Think Realty Radio with Avi Golhar after these messages.
Join Think Realty Radio host Avi Golhar and the rest of the team at the Think Realty Conference and Expo in Atlanta, September 22nd and 23rd. Text RADIO to 96270 to register for this two-day power-packed event where you can make deals, network, and learn from local and nationwide real estate experts, including Ken and Anita Corsini, hosts of HGTV's hit show Flip or Flop Atlanta. Text RADIO to 96270 to register now. Visit thinkrealty.com for details.
Hi, Kevin Ortner here, CEO of Renters Warehouse. I'm guessing that many of you might be considering a move. Maybe you need to relocate, maybe you're combining households, or maybe you already own investment property. Whether you have one home or a whole portfolio, my expert team at Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent it out fast, easy, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. For one low flat monthly fee, our professional landlords will manage your property 24/7. We collect the rent, we handle maintenance requests, inspections, all that regulatory red tape, and we'll even warranty our tenants for up to 18 months. That means if your tenant doesn't stay for any reason, Renters Warehouse will replace them for free. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Go to renterswarehouse.com right now to book a free home rental price analysis and see what your home will rent for today. A professional landlord will visit your property and show you personally how to rent your home fast and for top dollar.
Find out how much your home.
You have to play the percentages when you invest in real estate. Win the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. Whether it's fix and flips as low as 8% or landlord financing starting at 5.5%, Angel Oak Prime Bridge wins with a customer-focused approach to your business. Go to aopbconnect.com to see how you can win at the percentage game with Angel Oak Prime Bridge. And introducing our new wholesale partner program available at aopbconnect.com. The secret to winning at the percentage game.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Think Realty Radio and your host and realty dealmaker, Abhi Golhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Abhi Golhar. We're back. My guest today, Noel Christopher from Renters Warehouse. Before the break, we were having an awesome conversation about first-time mistakes. First-time investor mistakes and what that entailed and how to be aware of what people are telling you. For example, if somebody says, I'm guaranteeing you rent and it's going to be a 30% return year after year for 5 years and all this stuff, there's absolutely no way that's going to happen. There's zero way. Unless they've like figured out something that I don't know about or that Noel doesn't know about. But realistically, you're not going to expect that from a single family rental. Noel, here's a question for you. How do new investors pick remote markets? For example, if I live in California, I'm looking at investing in the Southeast United States. How am I picking which market I'm going to?
I think it's a good idea, especially these days, as you've gotten a lot of these tertiary markets open their arms up to new business and to companies moving in to study some of these MSAs. So it's pretty easy to find a lot of opportunities that are put in front of investors in all these different markets. So then you want to start looking into the what's the population growth, how's the job growth, how's wage growth. It's all publicly available information. And then, you know, in general, what's happening in that city? What kind of growth is happening in that city? And those are important things to look at because that's going to dictate many times your renter pool. And then also your exit, if you choose to exit. If you're in a strong market, you can always turn around and sell the home to a homeowner or sell it to another investor. And that's what makes single family rental investing very unique than any other asset class. So you really really just want to take a holistic look at the whole area. And also, like I always say this, I said it earlier, pull them up on Zillow. See how many properties are for sale and for rent and kind of get just an idea. You'll start to really get a feel for the area.
What should I be buying as a new investor? Is there any price point that I should have as a threshold? Like, okay, after $100,000 in my all-in cost, I'm not going to buy this single-family rental. Is it $150,000? Obviously, that's market-dependent. Help me, maybe walk me through the ideal deal.
Well, I think that, you know, you want to look at a lot of different things. You want to look at what you can afford. Mm-hmm. What you can afford to risk, because you know, if ideally I think you'd want to be in that $140,000 to $200,000 range, you're a little bit less money to risk. You're in that medium income working class type of area, so you're going to have a larger pool of renters. You can obviously go much higher and get lower returns and probably even less risky returns. So it just depends. Are you a high net worth individual looking to park some money and get a 6% return and really happy with that? Or are you a newer investor with maybe less upfront cash and you're trying to build out a portfolio and you need to look at maybe a home that's in that 140, 150 range that is the down payment's not going to kill you and you're going to have a moderate income tenant in there that's pretty stable? So you want to, again, it goes back to what are your goals? What kind of returns do you need to have? And what are your cash flow expectations? If you have high cash flow expectations on a monthly basis, then you probably need to take a step back and make sure this is the right thing for you to do.
Right. So what type of expectations have you seen investors have in terms of high cash flow expectation?
Well, since repairs and maintenance is a huge factor in your cash flow, a lot of it comes down to they bought a house that maybe the provider, meaning the person who found that house, rehabbed it and sold it to them, cut a few corners. In year three, there's a mainline sewer problem or a roof problem or a HVAC problem, and they're not wanting to pony up the cash to fix those issues because you're not looking at the long-term picture. You're looking at it and saying, okay, year one, I might be at a loss, but are you really with appreciation, maybe a little bit of rent increase as you go? And you really want to look at it in that 5 to 10 year range. Mm. What does this investment look like for you? And that's really what you want to base it on. That first year, you want to make sure you have the reserves and the ability to get to know your investment, to get to know the ins and outs and what the costs are going to be, because typically most of the time they're very much understated when they're sold to you in the first place.
Quick question then to follow up with that is, on a financial kind of line by line, if I'm charging $1,000 a month in rent, is there a specific percentage of that that I should allocate for reserve capital, or like an oh crap bucket, like if the roof needs to be repaired last minute or something is to happen? And then what percentage of the rent should be for property management? What percentage of the rent should be for overall expenses, for contingency? Do you have like a general breakdown of this?
There's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think the smart way would be, well, first off, you can put some plug numbers in there for property management and maintenance, and maybe set aside 10% for maintenance. We're a flat fee, for example, on property management. So if it's just $99 a month, that might equal, 7, 8, 9%, depending on the rent price. But the smart thing would take all of your profits and put them into a reserve for as long as you can possibly do it.
Yeah,
because you're going to help you build an asset that helps you build wealth rather than the extra $300 or $400 a month that you're quote unquote making off that property. Because at some point you're going to need those reserves, and the quicker you have access to your reserves and the quicker you can make a decision on fixing some major issue that comes up is going to have a direct relation to your tenant retention, how quickly you turn a property, all of these different things. You need to expect that, although you want to have a long-term tenant, they might move out. You might have a tenant that cycles through every year. So you're going to have a couple thousand dollars of turn costs. So you need to be prepared for that. And the longer you sit and waffle on that decision and nitpick every bit of work that needs to be done, which you still should do, you still should be very astute in looking into the amount of work that's done on any kind of repair. The longer you wait, the more money you're going to lose over the long term.
That's right. I'm very interested to see if maybe we can even put together like an SKU list or like a SKU list of all the materials that it takes just to be in a property, and just having that be consistent over and over and over again from one property to the next property to the next property. Because as we scale, it doesn't make any sense to have different SKU numbers for different properties, right? Like, it just doesn't. That's not the way you scale. That's how you build experiences, which is great, but scalability decreases with that. Thoughts?
Yeah, so that's something that we'd like to be able to have a benefit for an investor, is that, when we're talking about scaling, sometimes people think, okay, great, I've got to buy 5 houses in the same area. Kudos on you if you can do that. But the market we're in today doesn't usually enable you to do that. And the risk that you have by buying several properties in the same area, if there are outside factors that affect your tenant pool and affect the economics of that area, you're going to be all in on that issue. Nowadays, you can look at several different markets. There's even some data out there that can give you some market correlations as well, that you can diversify your investment just like you would in stocks and have a back-end operator like Renters Warehouse, for example, that are using consistent SKUs across our portfolio all over the country. At least that's our goal that we're working towards.
Yeah.
So that you benefit from the economies of scale of your operator.
I'm excited to have that conversation when we come back as well, what that means in terms of scalability. And when we come back, let's talk about technology, scaling with people, scaling with acquisition criteria, scaling with markets, etc. That's the topic when we're going to talk about when we come back. Think Realty Nation, get in touch with Noel and his team at runnerswarehouse.com, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest reviewed property management companies in America. Have questions for me? Head on over to thinkrealtyradio.com, or we've made it super easy for you to text the word ASK to 96270 and have your question answered. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule. Thousands of doctors, health specialists, and professionals recommend Balance of Nature as a way of improving their health. Listen to a few unsolicited success stories from doctors that use Balance of Nature as well.
Scientific research has shown that many cancers and lifestyle diseases can be prevented with a diet rich in fruits and vegetables. This prevention comes from the phytochemicals in the plants. I take Balance of Nature because I know, I've seen it in my lab, and I know that it works. I've seen the immune response increase, I've seen your DNA repair capacity increase, and I've seen DNA protection. And that, to me, as a scientist, rings so true.
For a limited time, use discount code RADIO6 to receive a 50% discount on your first preferred whole health system and have it shipped to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Again, use discount code RADIO6.
Attention investors. Respected names in the financial services industry are not evaluating if there will be a significant market downturn, but when. Higher interest rates and prospects of a trade war suggest the stock market is headed into a perilous direction. Subprime mortgages, which are back, could potentially devastate the real estate market, as they did before. And with stocks simply overdue for a fall after this second longest bull run in history, even bullish analysts are recognizing these indicators that equities are in big trouble and have projected stock market losses up to 40%. You can protect your IRA or 401k for maximum safety and opportunity with physical gold and silver, as they are assets that remain genuine stores of value no matter what's happening in the marketplace. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806 to get your free guide to precious metals investing. Call Augusta Precious Metals today at 855-858-5806. That's 855-858-5806.
Time changes everything. For me, becoming a single father of two young kids, it changed my ability to use my timeshare. The frustration of not being able to use it was compounded by annual maintenance fees that nearly tripled over a three-year period. I was desperate to get out. After searching online for sell my timeshare or get out of my timeshare, it just looked like one scam after another. I needed a real, permanent, and legitimate way to get out of this for good. I'm Brandon Reed, the founder of Timeshare Exit Team. We will get you out of the timeshare you can't use or can't afford anymore. We get people out safely, legally, and permanently. We are more successful because we have more solutions. Schedule a free consultation to review your ownership situation and find the best strategy for you. If we can't get you out, we will give you a full refund. Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Call 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112. That's 800-929-8112.
Call Timeshare Exit Team today.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Biz Talk Radio.
Think Realty Radio is back with host and real estate investment pro, Avi Goldhar.
Think Realty Nation, it's Avi Goldhar. We are back. My guest today is Noel Christopher from Renters Warehouse. Before the break, we've been talking about actually a lot of things, quite frankly. The first of which was what mistakes are first-time real estate investors making in the SFR space, in the single-family rental space, and how we can be really aware of some of these red flags that come across our desk in terms of deals, in terms of emails that will say, hey, I'm promising you a 30% rent guaranteed, 30% return on a rent guaranteed single family rental. It's all beautifully fixed up. Likelihood of that actually happening? Probably not a whole lot. So be careful, be smart. Don't just buy anything just because somebody's hawking you a deal and saying you got to buy now, because that's happening right now. Let's continue the conversation about scaling with single family rentals. What do I need to know about scaling? Technology, let's start with that. Do I need any specific type of tech, any system, software, what?
So technology is important for, I would say, underwriting, understanding a market. You know, you don't need to have a certain platform. You just need to figure out the avenue that you're going to use to research, whether you're, and then also, again, what your investment goals are. Do you want to scale? Are you trying to buy five properties at a time, buying one property every 6 months, one property a year? What's your goal? And that's going to dictate. And what you're going to find is that once you get up to about six or so properties, the opportunities are going to come a lot easier. And it's going to make it easier to go from six to 20 pretty quickly. The first five or six are probably the hardest, because mm-hmm. you're learning your way through that process. And you can obviously you can right now go buy a whole build-to-rent development in Houston, Texas for $28 million and have a great return right off the bat, if that's what you're willing to do. So it depends on your financial status. But technology is important there's a ton of avenues out there with the rent ranges and the house canaries and there's a ton of them that you can underwrite and get an idea, but you still want to rely on a local market expert. Typically, I think it's a good idea to rely on a property manager, because their stake in the whole situation is you hitting your rent numbers. So a property manager is not going to tell you a property is going to rent for $1,500 in order to get the price up to $150, rather than it's really going to rent for $1,300, because they're not in the deal. So I'd always be wary, because it depends on the person, but I'd be careful on, I would trust but verify when you have a broker telling you, hey, this property's great, you need to pick it up for $150, it's going to rent for $1,500.
Right.
That rent price is dictating what you're going to pay for the property. So there's technology out there to verify those things, and there's plenty of opportunities there.
So help me understand what you meant by that. The rent price will dictate how much you're paying for the property. Elaborate.
Well, what kind of return are you wanting to get? What is your cost of capital? Those are important aspects to understand before you acquire a property. What are the maintenance costs? What are all those things? That rent is going to drive everything to do with your ROI. So if you overestimate the rent by $50, $100, $200, any amount, it's going to affect your return, and therefore affect your success or failure in investing into a rental property. When it comes down to it, holding out several months to get the higher rent. So I would say one mistake that a lot of people make is they say, well, this guy told me it'd rent for $1,500. It's like, well, it's not. It's going to rent for $1,300. The sooner you come to terms with that and get that property occupied and get income coming in, the more successful you're going to be in the long term. So that's another thing to really be careful with.
Got it. So let's say my cost of capital, I'm all in at $1,200, $1,250, right? I'm renting it at $1,300 a month. There's no cash flow there. What do I do?
Well, you're still generating equity, because you're paying down the loan, and you're going to have some appreciation typically and some rent increase over time. Going into an investment property with $150 of cash flow or $100 of cash flow, whatever it is, it's probably something you should take a step back. You most likely want to hit that $300 to $400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Would be a good solid cash flow. But then again, all of your due diligence on the home is so very much important, because deferred maintenance issues or tenant issues or things that come up are going to cost you money, so you need to be prepared.
In terms of those types of issues, is there like technology, or maybe it's not technology, Noel, right? Like maybe there's just a national provider of home inspections that I just pay. I sign on some type of bulk deal where I pay $100 for every home inspection, or $125 for every home inspection. If it's a bulk deal, then I'm driving that price down. I mean, how do I know what's really going on in the property, what deferred maintenance really is going to be there, so that when I place an offer, I'm getting the best price for the home and not just some trumped up number that doesn't make any sense for me? Does that make sense?
Yes. So okay. I kind of look at it a couple different ways. As far as getting volume discounts and things like that, it's going to be rare that you're going to buy enough homes to get that volume discount. Usually you get what you pay for. So you want to hire a competent inspector. I would say hire an inspector that typically does homeowner deals, because they're going to take a look at that home as a homeowner moving in, and they're going to take a really good look at all the systems. And you really want to understand what the deferred maintenance is, the life of the appliances, all of those things. That would be a local inspector that you want to hire. And you have the pre-contract due diligence and then the post-contract due diligence. You're typically not going to be able to get a home inspector in there, nor would you want to, until you have the home under contract. But you need to be willing to walk away for that $200 or $300 inspection fee that you've paid if something comes up. A lot of people get to that point where it's under contract, they're ready to close, and they'll look past certain issues in the inspection because the guy selling it to them or the seller's agent or whoever it is saying, oh, don't worry about that, that's not an issue. They took a look at that, and no matter what your inspector says, the pipes are fine. It's not an issue. We haven't had any issues with mainline sewers, which is one of the number one issues we have in some of the more urban areas. So don't take that at face value. Take a look at the inspection. If there's things that would be red flags for you to live in that house, it needs to be red flags for you to buy it.
Makes sense. So walk me through some of these pre-contract and post-contract inspection items and things that I should be doing to the house, or maybe just be aware of the investment property as I'm getting into it. So let's start with pre-contract.
Sure. Pre-contract is going to be your underwriting the area, the location, understanding the demographics and the type of renters you're going to have in those areas, understanding the value of the home to make sure that the value of the home is matches. Somebody's selling you a home at 105% of value because it's such a great deal. It's not. It's worth less than that. So you need to be careful with that. Mm-hmm. And then just understanding the rent and having somebody walk in the home and say, based on the current condition of the house, it will rent for X. When somebody takes a look at a house without seeing the inside of the house and gives you a rent number, that is just an estimate because they haven't seen the inside of the house. That's going to dictate so much. I see houses that are rehabbed that have a stairway that's too small to get up to the basement or the upstairs area because they cut back on the stairway. So there's some little different things that you can watch out for there.
Gotcha. I'd love to talk about post-contract, but you know what? That's going to have to wait for another day. That finishes out your interview. I appreciate it, Noel. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with me.
Always a pleasure.
Think Realty Nation, make sure to go to renterswarehouse.com, one of the largest, fastest growing, and highest viewed property management companies in America. And we will have Noel back on to talk about that post-contract inspection stuff that you need to make sure that you do. Next up, the Power Play with Greg Rand. You don't want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. I'm coming right back.
Don't touch that dial. Real estate investing made easy when Think Realty Radio returns.
Need funding for your real estate investments? Welcome to Easy Street with RecovCo Mortgage Management. There's no income testing. You qualify based on the equity in your property. No W-2s, pay stubs, or tax returns needed. RecovCo can offer interest-only loans as well as 80% financing on properties up to 4 units. Make funding easier. Go to RecovCoDirect.com. That's RECOVCO direct.com/radio. The easy choice for real estate investors.
Listen up, investors. Where can you find educational tools and videos, industry insights, lists of wholesalers, lenders, and REI groups, plus deep discounts from top national home improvement retailers? All exclusively designed for real estate investors and all in one place? ThinkRealty.com. Sign up for your free intro-level Think Realty membership today. Think time. Think wealth. Think purpose. ThinkRealty.com. It's a real estate of mind.
Real estate investors, first-timers, or savvy buyers, Auction.com has what you need to meet your real estate goals. They're the nation's largest online auction marketplace with more than 30,000 foreclosures and bank-owned properties, offering fixer-uppers and million-dollar properties both online and at live auctions. They go beyond the bid to offer a superior technology platform for convenient access and supportive services. Start searching, saving, and bidding on properties and get a free account at auction.com/thinkrealty.
Today, out of 80 million boomers in the USA, 42 million are now involved in the day-to-day care of an elder parent. Where do you turn to help your aging parent? AnswersForElders.com. Like you, we understand that caring for an aging parent can be emotional, confusing, and financially challenging. AnswersForElders.com is an online resource designed to empower you with the knowledge, services, and expertise to help you navigate the care of your elder parent. Visit AnswersForElders.com today.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588.
Biz Talk Radio.
Slam dunk, grand slam, victory lap. Get ready for the inside scoop in the real estate investing industry. You're tuned in to the Power Play with me, Avi Golhar, and my buddy, Greg Rand. Think Realty Nation, it's Avi Golhar. You're back. I'm back. And with a good friend of mine, adding into the show called The Power Play, Greg Rand is on the air as well. Greg, let's jump right into it, man. I think before you jumped on, Noel and I had a really awesome conversation about Renter's Warehouse. Again, great guys, love what they're doing. And we also talked a little bit about college towns and investing in college towns and college cities. Is this a trend that you expect to continue over time? Is this something that I should be looking at personally investing in? What am I missing here? You had a chance to read it.
Yeah, you're missing nothing. I did, and I love it. I have been for the last several years waiting
to see niche strategies by large investors, okay? Something that the biggest investors in the country are clients of ours, okay? So your audience might not be aware that what Own America does is we're a marketplace platform for rental properties. We serve big Wall Street-backed investors and a very rapidly growing group of mid-sized and more small investors. And one of my favorite things is to look at what the big people are doing that can be shown to the smaller people and say, hey, look, you can get benefit out of some of the innovations and the approach that they've created. And so all the data on the website, all the measurement techniques, the calculators, the projections are all based upon our work with institutions. But it goes the other direction too. There are a lot of things that I've learned from small investors over the years that I'm trying to share with the large investors because, you know, listen, just not for nothing. Sometimes they need to be reminded that they're not the only smart people in the world. Sometimes these small these small entrepreneurial level people are very ingenious in the way they go about things. And so for years now, there's been basically a dozen major metro markets: Atlanta, Charlotte, Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, Dallas, Nashville. These were the cities that all the big investors went into. And they almost all bought pretty much the same kind of houses, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, pretty much the same age, built since 1980, pretty much the same thing. You know, they were all going after the same up-the-middle strategy, right? Why be creative? If you're the first one in the land grab, just go buy the easiest stuff to buy, easiest stuff to own, that has the broadest appeal to tenants and families that want to rent. But what we always wondered is, you know, when you look at other categories of real estate, and multifamily is kind of the kissing cousin to single family homes, multifamily years ago started to get niche. They started to get diverse on their strategies. And one of the things they did luxury, right? So luxury apartment buildings. They did student housing. And that's where this article jumped off for me. I said, okay, now we're starting to see it where people are beginning to recognize that in these certain towns that have an anchor, the anchor's been around for 75 years. It's got a big endowment. It's a university. It's got a transient population of renters. Not that many sophomores are buying their house for their junior year, right? They're going to rent. The sophomore who is going to put a hole in the wall, but he's not responsible to pay the rent. Mom and dad are paying the rent. So it's got a really, don't do the granite countertops. Don't do the crown moldings. Paint over the holes because these things are going to get banged up. I'm exaggerating, but you're not buying it for a luxury clientele, but they are paying online on time, and they are making sure that junior little Bobby doesn't get evicted because the rent doesn't get paid. But you also have a play, like you can see when endowments get a boost. You can see colleges get higher rankings. Okay, like the article that I'm sure you'll link to on thinkrealty.com, it was from homes.com. It was a blog piece about a U.S. landlord index. And I thought it was fascinating because it begins to say, okay, so here's a college, but not all colleges are the same. There might be a college that won a national championship. You know what happens when a college wins a national championship? Every kid in the country applies there. And so that's just demand. We always talk about the same thing. It's about show me where the lift is. If there's a place that is bedrock, it's anchored by an employer and a population base like a university. A lot of students wind up staying in the city where they went to college. That's part of the research. If it's a city that kids come in and they leave and they never come back, that's different than when 25% of the students end up anchoring themselves there and they stay put. Austin's an example. I don't know their percentage, but Austin's an example of where you buy in a place where there's universities and nobody ever wants to leave because they figured out Austin's the coolest city in America, right?
That's
or
right.
At least for them. So that's kind of the idea. Diversity of strategy. Learn to go in as a niche. The big investors are starting to think this way, but not really in mass right now. And still, so it's still a really, really good opportunity for a nimble entrepreneur to get in there and take positions.
I know a lot of foreign buyers, foreign investors will always use universities as an anchor of where they're going to buy properties. I speak internationally, and I'm generally headed to Shanghai once a year to connect with folks and to connect with investors. And that's what they look at, right? They're like, hey, you're next to Emory? Okay, nice. What, you know, 500-unit apartment complex can I buy? It makes sense, right? They want more stable markets, and they want mommy
and
daddy.
And they also know it.
Yeah.
There's familiarity with that. You know,
absolutely.
There's familiarity. One of the things you see a lot with overseas investors is that they send their kids here for college. They buy a piece of property for the kid to live in while they're here. They usually like gateway cities, New York, Miami, San Francisco. They like big brand name cities. But if they get to know a university because a child goes there, now they come to the U.S. for Parents' Weekend. They come to the U.S. for Graduation Day. They're there several times. They may not know anything but Miami, New York, and San Francisco, and whatever town Emory is in, because they happen to go there. They get comfortable. And one of the things that happens all the time with overseas investors, they don't get to own property the way we get to own property. Okay, it's different over there. There are countries that these folks come from where they earned a lot of wealth, but there's a history in those countries of seizing private wealth. Mm-hmm. They have a motivation to get money out. It isn't like if you don't like the outcome of the election in this country, you get mad for 4 years. If you don't like the outcome of a change in power in some countries, you actually have to fear for your family's legacy to be taken away. And so they want to bring the money here. Real estate is something they're very comfortable with, and college towns are places that can draw their attention just because that's where their kids checked out going to school and maybe went to school.
No, that's right. And I think it's a smart play, right? It's more stable. Mommy, daddy generally will co-sign, and they're going to pay rent because they definitely don't want Junior Bobby to fail out and not pay rent and then all of a sudden be distracted. That just is not a good look for Johnny not being able to graduate. Sorry. So in terms of yield, right? In terms of yield in this article, there's I feel only half the story being told. And I think you and I were talking a little bit about that.
Yeah,
right?
I agree with you. This is a really well-written story. I liked it a lot, but there was something that jumped out at me, and that is they ranked it based upon yield, but they did not define what yield was. And so, for example, in the top 10 ranking, the highest yielding market was 14%, and the lowest yielding was 10%. Now, in terms of the top 10, these are gross yields. And I want this helps me to, as a jumping off point, to make sure that your audience knows that there are not really that many standards that have been widely spread in the single family investing space, meaning the definition of yield. This is gross yield. What does gross yield mean? You collect the rent, and of all the rent you collect, what percentage of the price of the property is that?
That's
right. So if you have a 10% gross yield, that means that if the house is worth $100,000, you're getting $10,000 worth of rent, but you still have to pay your taxes.
Right. Okay? It doesn't include expenses at all. Right. It makes no sense to me why those numbers aren't accounted for.
It's a good rule of thumb. It's a good way to rank. The reason why they use it is they don't have the expenses. We know the expenses because we're in the trenches. They didn't know the expenses well enough to tell you that if you're going to get 10% as a gross yield, you're going to probably spend about 4% on your taxes, your insurance, your maintenance, your property management. It's going to leave you with a net yield of 6%, okay? 6% is the net yield that you can actually spend the money, right? Like, so you're putting $100,000
down. Yield. That's your net
yield.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So now here's the best part is that it ends up making its way back to 10 because in Baltimore, Maryland, which is number 10 on the ranking, the 10% yield minus 4 points of expenses gives you 6, but Baltimore appreciates at like 5% a year on average for the last 20 years. So you get back to 11. So it's wrong, but it ends up being right. It's a good rule of thumb, but you're not going to pocket that yield. You have to understand that net yield is what you can actually collect and keep. And then appreciation, the value of the property going up, is what you add to that for the total wealth picture.
All right, so we've got to close out the show. But big takeaway, there's a very big difference between yield and net yield. And if you don't know the answer to that, you need to get in touch with us. The best way to do that is to go to thinkrealtyradio.com and ask us your question. You know, heck, submit your deal and we'll analyze it and break it down for you on the Power Play next time. So do that
as
well.
I would love that.
That would be so much fun. Go to thinkrealtyradio.com. Until next time, happy investing.
The show is over, but Abhi's expertise is available for you 24/7 at thinkrealtyradio.com. Videos, articles, podcasts, insights, everything you need to create more for your future right at your fingertips. Think Realty Radio, a real estate of mind, online at thinkrealtyradio.com.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
We are perfectionists. We do it right and don't stop until the job is done. We build commercial zero-turn mowers with maneuverability, power, and comfort. Who are we? We are Kubota. Now, during our More Power to You sales event, you can get long-term financing as low as 0% APR on new commercial-grade Z700 series mowers.
For more information or to find a participating dealer, go to Kubota.com.
BizTalk Radio.